There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. We are live at the Phoenix Park Hotel in Washington, D.C. for Fairs Hold Their Feet to the Fire, the 13th year of this event. And a voice that you hear, well, live in our studios back home. I just followed him up here to Washington. AL1's Congressman Bradley Byrne with us. I'd say in studio. This is kind of our studio here. Hey.
It's like a nice studio here, Sean.
Yeah, there's a bunch of talk radio folks in one place.
Yeah, I guess dozens.
Yes. I don't know if there's a law against so many of us being in one place, but I think it's still legal and we're here, and it's a big conversation.
First Amendment, you know.
Yes. Yes, that's for sure. So much to talk about. And I know we are going to talk, because of the nature of why we're here, I want to talk some immigration policy with you. But before we do, I can't pretend like this whole town isn't focused on one thing, and that's what's going on in the House.
Right. Well, the impeachment announcement by the Speaker earlier this week just sucked all the oxygen out of the room. So,
So some behind the curtain stuff, and you know I love this, Congressman. So, yeah. Did you get an idea that's coming? You have like a day before you feel it's coming, or somebody whispering that this is going to happen?
Oh yeah, you had lots of rumors, and you got to learn that a lot of rumors up here don't pan out to be true. But there was enough going on. We believe that was happening, and certainly a number of Democrats that hadn't come out for impeachment that did over the last several days, put her in a very difficult position to not do it. So she's doing it because the left wing of her party is pushing her to do it, and I don't think she wants to do it. I think she understands it's bad for them politically, but she's got to stay in front of her pack, and that's what she's doing.
Okay, and because the moderating force of a California Nancy Pelosi.
I know, it's hard to believe.
right?
I mean, but she definitely has been trying to hold him back.
She has. I've watched that. And it's maybe with some wisdom, and that's what I want to get to, that she thinks this is maybe a... Does she? I don't know what she thinks. Is it a fool's errand? It's not worth doing. It's not politically expedient?
Well, she knows all the quotes we have from her and the rest of her leadership team during the Clinton impeachment. Yep. That are going to put her in a very bad light when we say this is what she said 20 years ago, mm-hmm. and here's what she's saying now. And in fact, we've got a great quote from Jerry Nadler 20 years ago. He said that we should never have an impeachment on a partisan basis, mm-hmm. which is exactly what they're doing.
Well, they're going to say that this is not this is just the office of the presidency, and this is a discussion of quid pro quo for personal gain.
No, I read the transcript. There's no quid pro quo in there at all. I think they've actually backed off of that a little bit, although my understanding is Mr. Schiff this morning tried to say, well, you got to read between the lines.
Mm-hmm. He did exactly say that.
You know, yeah. I don't impeach somebody reading between the lines. Impeachment's too big to do that with.
Okay, and Congressman, because that there's a difference between I don't like what I read there and this is an impeachable offense.
That's exactly right. I mean, look, read the Constitution. Has to be bribery, treason, or a high crime or misdemeanor. Okay? That's what it says.
Mm-hmm.
Now, unlike some of my colleagues around here, I actually think we should follow the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
I have read the transcript. I read the whistleblower complaint this morning, read through a couple of times, talked it over with some legal counsel. I do not see an impeachable offense because I do not see a high crime or misdemeanor.
So and also, this is going to be something that comes in the House because, obviously, being in the minority, Republicans will not be able to control this. It's going to come out of the House, but it's going to go to the Senate and go nowhere.
It's going to die.
So this is, somebody got mad at me before on social media this morning because I called it political theater, but
it is political theater.
It is.
It's exactly that. Now, they've chosen to engage in this political theater. It's our job as the opposition party to push back. And as you've noticed, we are pushing back pretty darn hard. And you're going to hear us pushing back even harder. Like I say, we'll be using some of the things that they said 20 years ago against them. We're also going to point out that this is what I call the impeachment flavor of the week. You know, it was the Mueller report, then it was the Mueller testimony, then it was the Monuments Clause, then it was paying off the women. Then last week was Kavanaugh. Remember
Yeah, I forgot.
And so this week the flavor is this Ukraine thing. There's nothing there.
In doing this, you mentioned the whistleblower. So this has a couple different elements here. I, too, read the transcript, but I have not gotten to read the whistleblower's assessment. What's your take on that?
It is based totally on hearsay, and what's not hearsay is based on press reports. So a whistleblower is sent into the chairs of the Intelligence Committee's press reports.
So the whistleblower, and we've talked about this several times on the show, but I want you to lay this out for it. The whistleblower, because people think whistleblower, the way regular folks like me, somebody saw something. I worked at the factory, and I realized they weren't really using sugar. They were using strychnine or whatever in there, and I'm going to rat out that they were doing that, and I'm going to get protections because I'm helping out the people.
Right.
This is not what's being discussed here. This whistleblower is not a first-hand party to this.
He has no first-hand knowledge. None.
So they've heard it from somebody, and they're whistleblowing because they heard something.
Yeah, we do have a federal statute. That's the whistleblower statute.
It's a protection,
that
right?
It protects somebody that comes forward under certain specified circumstances, and he cites the statute at the beginning of his letter that he sent to the two.
Which I think is a good, I mean, I think there has to be a protection for somebody who knows something that's wrong.
Well, we want him to do that.
Okay.
I'm a strong supporter of the whistleblower statute, and he has a right to anonymity, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a decision maker here.
Mm-hmm.
I have a right to make my judgment about what he's put forth. And whoever, I'm saying it, he could be a she. Whoever it is, this person has based it totally, as I said, on hearsay and on some press reports. I'm sorry, I'm not going to impeach any president based upon hearsay.
And press reports. Can you let the folks back home know, when you say press reports, what do you talk about?
Like New York Times, as you know, there's a political thing up here called Politico, things like that. And they're just stories, okay? These aren't...
Wait a second. So the whistleblower, in the whistleblower complaint, they're referencing...
News stories.
Congressman Byrne, I mean, whistleblowers are given the protection because they bring things to light that are not known or discussed.
Right.
But if the corroboration or the supporting documents in the whistleblower are stories from Politico... Then those are things that are already published and known. I'm having trouble understanding.
Me as well, and I'll tell you what I have concluded. Now, I've read through it twice because I wanted to make sure that I understood it carefully. What he's trying to do, or she's trying to do with this complaint, is come forward with a bunch of hearsay and then fluff it up with these news stories. This means X because read this news story.
Right.
Well, I'm
so,
sorry, we don't impeach on that.
They're saying, so this person is saying, all right, you see the transcript, and here President Trump says this to President
Zelensky,
thank you, says this to Zelensky, and because this story from Politico, that interchange means this.
Yeah. Or he just finishes a timeline of events by showing, and according to the press report, this happened after this event. The first two sections of the report are on the July 25th conversation between President Trump and President Zelensky of Ukraine. And the second part is on what the whistleblower says was restricted access to the transcript. Well, we now have the transcript, so there's no restricted access.
Like, I have the, you get it to one level. I've got it.
Everybody's got it.
That's what I'm saying.
And so there's no restricted access, and the part on the conversations is meaningless to me because I have the transcript. I don't need him telling me on hearsay what was said in the conversation. I've got the transcript. So quite frankly, I look at this and I'm saying, ho-hum. And then he's obviously got a bone to pick. He's got a bias here. And the inspector general said there appeared to be bias here. And on top of that, I don't know all the federal criminal statutes, so I'm not going to act like I'm an expert through and through. But I keep scratching my head saying, okay, assume all this is true.
Okay.
Where's the criminal violation? And at this point, I can't tell you what criminal violation they're trying to hang their hat on.
And we'll talk about that more when we come back. More with Congressman Bradley Byrne. We are live in Washington for Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, live from Washington, talking with AL1's congressman and candidate for Senate, Bradley Byrne. And, you know, you just mentioned something during the break. We got to roll this out because this is, y'all, take the, for a second, just take any kind of politics and go into strategy mode. Hey, Congressman Byrne, you just pointed out something that happens this Friday.
Yeah, we are leaving tomorrow, Friday, and we will not come back for 2 weeks. So now, we will not be here for the next 2 weeks.
So y'all are not in session next 2 weeks. Y'all take your politics out for a second. I'm going to do that for you. And you're going to play this. You think this is your big political play and move against President Trump. Who foolishly does it in a, when you have 2 weeks that you're not going to be in session?
Nancy Pelosi being led by AOC and the squad.
It is, and it seems like it would be a freshman kind of idea here, somebody who's not connected with how this is done. Once again, I disagree with what the Democrats are trying to do. I'm just saying, strategically, I want to go, hey, knuckleheads.
I don't think Pelosi wants to do this. I really don't. I think she's being forced into it by her own conference. And I think they're going to pay a big price because that Quinnipiac poll.
It's over tomorrow.
Monday.
For 2 weeks, the discussion, us watching goings on in the House on this, it's over.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be back in the state of Alabama doing my thing. I will not be up here voting on impeachment or impeachment hearings or anything like
that. Why would you play it like that?
It's because they're being forced to. And it's not serious, Sean. This is not serious.
It's just whatever this week is. It's the flavor of the week,
It's the flavor
said.
Of the week. Yeah. You watch. We'll come back in 2 weeks. There'll be
something else.
I'm just telling you because there always is something else. I think their credibility is shot.
Uh-huh.
Like I say, Mueller report, Mueller hearing, you know, Monuments Clause, ban off women, Kavanaugh. So it's hard to take them seriously at all. And then when you look at this complaint and look at the rank hearsay in there and the fact they're using published news reports, come on. I mean, you don't have to be an expert to read this and understand this is not real. But they're pushing it, and they're serious about it, so okay.
This is, and if you didn't catch what the congressman said in the first segment, the news reports in the whistleblowers, you have read through the whistleblower report, and the whistleblower is citing print media sources as corroboration for the whistleblower.
Yes.
It's like the whistleblower is supposed to be the lead. The whistleblower knows what the world doesn't know. That's why they're whistleblowing.
The whistleblower says, I know something that nobody else knows, and I'm coming forward with it. To give it to the right authorities for them to take appropriate action on.
You wouldn't be able to quote somebody else's news report on it because you know the thing that's supposed to be unknown.
Yeah, or you know. So what he's saying is, I heard from another person, fill in the blank, and to corroborate that or to tell you what happened afterwards, I'm going to cite this news report. Well, I think the intelligence committees of the House and the Senate have access to the New York Times and Politico.
Yeah, they're pretty good with
so
that.
So I think they don't need somebody to tell them that. He's fluffing it up.
They pay for the paywall. They get through. They've paid for the paywall.
Everybody gets all that up here. We got our congressional computers. We get all this this news. But, you know, at the end of the day, they're just trying to fluff this thing up because they don't have anybody that's come forward and says, I have firsthand knowledge. We all know what was said in the telephone conversation because we all have the transcript.
Does that anything in that telephone conversation bother you?
Well, I think that there's some wording I would have used differently, but I don't see anything there that's a crime or it's impeachable.
Right, and that's the thing that I see people run to their corners and will say everything's all fine or everything's horrible. I've looked through it just in my personal, and I said, yeah, that could be construed this way, that could be construed, but we're talking about impeachment.
Yeah.
Impeachment has a specific definition.
Yes, yes. This is the same thing when I read the Mueller report. Hey, there's some things I'd have done differently.
Right.
But it wasn't a crime, you know? That's the standard. And I'm applying that standard. And I'm
what you're supposed to do. That's why there's a standard.
That's right. And so if you apply that standard to what's in the transcript, there's no crime, there's nothing to impeach the president on. Now, I think they may be getting away from that standard. I think they're beginning to say, no, it does not have to be a crime.
It's just something we don't like.
Yeah, there's a memo that Hillary Clinton actually helped prepare back in 1973 and 74 during the Nixon-Watergate times that talks about the historic development of impeachment in, you know, England back in the 16th and 17th century. And they say that it didn't have to be a pure crime, and that's true when you're going against the king's ministers.
Okay.
Because it was an effort so you didn't have to do what they did in the 17th century, which is depose the king and kill him.
Right.
They didn't want to do that.
Right.
It's different when you're going after the executive himself.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be a crime. And I think the people, more importantly, I think the people in America are going to say, there's not a crime here, you better not impeach him. That's why that Quinnipiac poll says 57% of the people in America do not want impeachment.
I remember when they broke it down, that poll, I was looking at it, I don't have it in front of me, this off the top of my head, but other than maybe two subsets within that polling group, everybody, even people that were not, it wasn't just like Republican faithful that were saying that. They broke it down, and even people, like some Democrats,
Some Democrats and a lot of independents.
Independents said no.
No. Independents were saying, look, this is a partisan thing. I don't want the president removed on a partisan basis. If the independents can say, if I want him to get out of office, then I get to use my vote next November, which is the way it's supposed to work. So, I think that what they've done is they're trying to use this as a way of damaging the president for the election next year. But I think it's boomeranging on them already. I think it is.
Just joining us, talking to Congressman Bradley Byrne. We are live in Washington talking about immigration, too.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I had the sheriff from Frederick County, Maryland on.
Yeah.
And I was talking to him, Sheriff Jenkins, and I said, out of all the places I would think would be a hotbed for illegal immigrant problems, it wouldn't be Frederick County, Maryland. And he said, they talked about the sanctuary county right next door to him. But then we got in a discussion of how the flow of illegal immigrants comes through the country, which brought us back home to Southwest Alabama.
Unfortunately, that's true.
You know, and so those illegal immigrants have got to they don't magically parachute into Frederick County, Maryland.
No, they come out of Texas or mm-hmm. Arizona or New Mexico. A lot of them get on Interstate 10. A lot of them get on I-65. Mm-hmm. Guess where?
Yes.
In Mobile, and they're trafficked up to the eastern seaboard or to the central part of the United States by going up 65 directly or 65 to 85 mm-hmm. up the eastern seaboard. So a lot of these people are trafficked through Alabama and through Mobile.
Yeah, some of the stats I was looking at that the fair people put out, I think it's 73,000 adult. Their estimate, 73,000 illegal immigrants in the state of Alabama, adults, and I think 20,000 of their children.
I wouldn't be surprised at that.
But those numbers, then I looked at other states that have way bigger numbers
right.
than we do.
Right.
But I started thinking, what is the additional? And they've broken down some costs, what it cost Alabama to have the illegal immigrants in. It's significant per taxpayer. But then also, when they start, you have groups coming through that are running people, like you said, running drugs, and they're coming through our area to get to a Frederick County, Maryland, or a Chicago, or an Atlanta.
If you're a human trafficker, you're also a drug trafficker.
Yeah.
They're violent people. They're very dangerous and violent people. I learned this when I went to the border to El Paso. I think you and I talked mm-hmm. about it when I was in the studio with you last time. These are extremely dangerous people, and they're on our interstates.
Yeah.
They're probably stopping at our gas stations.
Mm-hmm.
And they may be driving a van with a bunch of people, stacked up in the back of it. They may be human trafficking people just to get them to some place where they're going to get a job. Or they may be little girls. I mean, if that doesn't make you sick, I don't know what does.
And there's been, it's not, the stories have been proven that
unfortunately,
it has been.
Yeah, we know it. And we've got a lot of data here in Congress. We've passed some laws the last 7 years to deal with it. But you've got to have the resources to actually go out there and enforce those laws. And I don't think we have enough resources devoted to that to make sure that we are interdicting these people as we should be.
And the resources, one thing, I talked to Theo Wold from the President's Special Assistant on Immigration in last hour. I got into the discussion, too. I see it being a two or three or four part deal. But one of the ones I want to see, and this is maybe one of the more unpopular things that doesn't come out, I want to disincentivize people coming here through the market. I am a fiscal conservative, a market person. If the job is not here or the risk to employ that person is so high,
right?
It seems like that way, and it doesn't change the refugee status and people coming in and claiming those things. I'm talking about just the general everyday
right.
illegal immigration, the good old-fashioned illegal immigration. You've got to disincentivize it.
Well,
you can build walls and do all those things, that's fine, but there's got to be no job here for that person.
Well, we should do across the nation what the Alabama legislature did several years ago, which is every employer should be forced to use E-Verify.
Mm-hmm.
E-Verify is not perfect, okay? It's not going to catch everybody, but it's better than what we've got right now, which is this paper I-9 process. And I think every employer in America should do that. And there should be substantial penalties. You saw the raids they did in Mississippi
yes.
several
Big
weeks
time.
Ago. And I think we need to do more of that. And you're right. There's some bad actors out there, and they'll stop doing this stuff. I don't want to, however, make this process to the point where good actors who are relying in good faith on information on E-Verify can be held liable.
Right. That's if they go through the process and do it correctly, that's
correct.
Fine.
They should.
But they got to go through the process across the country.
They should be required to go through the process.
Congressman Byrne, thank you for your time.
Sean, good to be with you.
Hey, great to have you here. And we're coming right back, wrapping it up here on Midday Mobile, live from Washington.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. We are live from Washington, D.C., Phoenix Park Hotel, and we're here for Fairs Hold Their Feet to the Fire event, 13th year. This, we'll talk more about that in just a second. I do want to check in with Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry and see what's shaking on a Thursday. Hey, Angelo.
Hey, how's it going, Sean?
It's good, man. It's good. What are you, what's going, you have any of those, I'm thinking about being in, that I'm in Washington, you have any patriotic rounds, those silver rounds out there? What do you got in the store?
We do. As a matter of fact, there are silver rounds for all the branches of the service, including Coast Guard and National Guard. We also have those American flags. Cool thing is, all of those items are engravable. You can have those customized right here at the shop, whether it's a gift for yourself, maybe, you know, celebrating your time in the service, or if you want to give a gift to somebody that they're going to keep in their pocket as their lucky piece for a long, long time. That's a great gift idea.
You know, what's neat, too, is you've taught us over time, like, you can do, you can come in and do precious metals just coming in and owning silver, owning gold. But also, there's an added benefit when you can own that silver, own that gold as something that's fun to look at, that's collectible, that has an artistic value. At the same time, it has a precious metal value.
Well, that's the thing that I like about all of this stuff. You know, you can go out and buy something that's cool and pop culture-ish from the toy store or from the mall store, whatever else, and a year or two from now, you know, it's damaged, it's worn, it's not worth anything. You buy one of these silver coins, whether it's the John Wick coin, the Disney Lion King coin, you know, at the end of the day, no matter else, whatever else you've done to it, it's still going to have its silver value.
All right, and remind folks, too, if they're interested in precious metals, not only can they come in and make a purchase, learn about the spot price and all that, they can get an education on why this one versus that one and how to do this right.
We love to talk to our customers before they start spending money, so that way they're comfortable with what they're buying and they understand the whole process and what they're getting into. So, yeah, come by the shop right here, 2204 Government Street, ask some questions. We'll give you our opinions on what things we think are good for what you're looking for, and yeah, we try to make it fun.
All right, Angelo, tell folks how to find you.
Yeah, we're in Midtown, 2204 Government Street. You can always check us out online at mobilebaycoins.com or to see all the new cool stuff coming in, like and follow Mobile Bay Coins on Facebook.
Hey, thanks, man. We'll talk soon.
Have a good one, Sean.
You too. Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. I want to read something. This is just breaking here. NBC News says 221 House Democrats and one independent, a majority of the chamber's 435 members, now favor some kind of impeachment action against President Donald Trump, according to the new tally. So it is 221 House Democrats and one independent. Remember, Democrats have the majority in the House. This goes back, so it goes on to say House Democrats reached a milestone a day after Speaker Nancy Pelosi announced a formal impeachment inquiry into the president following the claims that he might have withheld aid to Ukraine. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. So you just heard Congressman Byrne say something. This is not even, this is why I'm interested in these kind of conversations. It's not even the political punditry. It's the strategy. Just ask yourself, if you were somebody who was trying to make a move here, a real move to impeach the president, and knowing how Washington works, would you have rolled this out 2 days, well, really 3 days, I guess Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 3 days before you wrap up for 2 weeks? You heard Congressman Byrne just say, tomorrow the House is out of session for 2 weeks. You know, we talk about Friday news dumps, how, you know, they'll dump a news story out of Friday because our short memory spans maybe by Monday the story won't be thought about at all, or it'll be diminished in its impact. 2 weeks in Washington is a lifetime. So this is not who did what or who's guilty or not guilty or whether it's impeachable. Just strategy-wise, I don't get it. I don't get it. I can't imagine there's that. And I know it's easy to say, well, they're just all naive and they have no idea how the game's played. Nah, Nancy Pelosi knows how the game's played. I mean, no dummy. Smart woman gets it. and she was forced in the situation. I don't know that she couldn't tell. I don't know. When I go back to say, hey, this is all for just political theater, because of course this, you know, the House acts like the grand jury in this situation, so they can indict. Then the impeachment then goes to the Senate for judgment. And of course the Republicans in the Senate are, this is dead on arrival. So there's not going to be an impeachment. All the stuff on social media, the, oh, it's going to be Vice President Pence moving up, and then there's not, unless something major happened and there was some kind of sea change and information that we have not been given yet, there's no way that this goes through in the Senate. So therefore, you're using this for, if you're a Democrat, you're using this to be a political headwind for the president. You're wearing the president down, and you're continuing every week, whatever the flavor of the week, mission to wear the president down for political expediency in 2020. Okay, I get it. That's how the game's played, y'all. You don't like it. The problem is it works both ways. That's how the game's played. But why would you play it like this when you're leaving for 2 weeks? It makes no sense. No sense at all. They have the 221 House Democrats and the one independent now that favor some kind of impeachment action, which I think is interesting. Think about the 30, there's probably 35, I think 35 House Democrats that won in districts that President Trump won. Because there's like the situation that Doug Jones is in as a senator. Senator Jones is in here in Washington. There are House members that are in those situations that they're from House districts that the president won the presidential vote, but they won as Democrats in the House. They're not going to be lining up to be the most vociferous on their desire to impeach President Trump, especially because there's not any win for them. They're not going to get the impeachment done. So why go on record and risk when you have to run again for office in the House? And then to do this and get on record if they take this vote and then leave for 2 weeks, there's a piece of this missing still, or it's just that level of ineptitude. All right, take your calls on that.
Sean, there are some, I guess, conspiracy theories floating out there. And
you don't say.
You know how we like our conspiracy theories here, usually to make fun of them. But, you know, sometimes conspiracy theories can come true. But what I'm seeing is, you know, it already doesn't seem like many liberals are very excited about Biden being their potential candidate
right
there once it comes time for the 2020 election. So maybe this is a way to not only hopefully bring Biden down and ensure that another Democrat gets that candidacy, but also smear the president's name a little bit more heading into that general election.
Yeah, okay. You're going for the smear. But that's a long game. I've asked this question off mic around here with these people who know. I said, if you're truly doing this, I mean, and this is Machiavellian, but it's how my mind works. If I'm running, the show for the Democrats here, if I think this has any kind of traction, I hold it. I sure as hell don't roll it out on a week that the House is leaving for 2 weeks, right?
Right.
I get it when there's a density of where they're going to be here for a while, so they can talk about it and talk about it and talk about it and talk about it, talk about it. Or I'm going to hold it for months ahead as it's closer to the general. But the conspiracy theories actually have something working for them, because if the value politically is to kneecap Joe Biden, well, then it may be successful. But the focus is, I mean, you don't have House Democrats talking about Joe Biden. You have very few Democrats right now out there talking about Joe Biden in this. There's a few, and when Robert Kennedy was on this morning, he was talking about it, but he's a rarity. You look at the mass media, the Democrat apparatchiks out there, and they're talking about Trump on this, not Biden. And I don't doubt that it could hurt Biden a little bit with some voters, but this focus right now is on President Trump. And it seems like a lot of powder for very little shot, I guess is what I'm saying. I don't know why they played it like this. And maybe there's some piece of information I don't know yet. But from where I sit right now, which I'm just across from the Capitol here, I don't get why they did it.
And Biden's taken a lot of hits already, you know, even before this whole thing. I know Congressman Byrne was talking about that Quinnipiac poll that said a majority of Americans don't want impeachment for the president. Well,
right.
Another Quinnipiac poll came out this last Wednesday, so yesterday it came out, before, I imagine they were polling these people before all of this news broke this week, but for the leading Democrat candidate now, Elizabeth Warren, is in the lead in this Quinnipiac University poll. 27% of Democrats and Democratic-leaning independents now favor Elizabeth Warren, 25% for Biden. So he's 2 points behind. In third, you have Bernie Sanders at 16%, then Buttigieg, the mayor of South Bend, Indiana, at 7%, and Kamala Harris behind all of them at 3%. But Biden, you know, when he last August, he started out way ahead. He was at 32% compared to Warren's 19%. So these last few months, this last year has not been good at all for the Biden campaign.
But I'll tell you this, if you look at who leads, and that, and you can argue it this way, you look at whoever leads this far out from election, quite often it's not the nominee. Mm. I mean, you just look at some of the, being the dominant candidate this far out, this could change a couple times. And I'm not saying that it doesn't mean that this might be the end of Biden, but I would say, Elizabeth, do you expect Elizabeth Warren to stay at the top of the heap for Democrats from now until the primary? I don't see it. I know you've got a big bet that you think it's Kamala Harris, but I just don't think it stays that way.
Well, that was a long shot when I said it. It's looking like an even longer shot now. I know a few days ago you asked me to look up the odds on whether the president would be impeached. I couldn't find those odds, but I did see that the odds for the Democrat candidate have shifted pretty much along those same lines as that Quinnipiac poll. Elizabeth Warren now the favorite, according to odds makers. We do have somebody on the line here who wants to talk about impeachment. John from Sims, you're on the line.
Hey, yeah, I wanted to tell you, I've got an unnamed inside source that says the whistleblower is Jesse Smollett.
I'm going to write that down. Let's go ahead and lead. That's a headline. I'm putting that out as news right now.
I got a question for you, too.
Okay.
How come nobody is asking for Hunter Biden's tax returns?
I imagine that will come up at some point. Here's the thing: his tax returns, he could, and I don't know I don't know how it comes out looking, but you could have legitimate income that comes from the fact that you were given the job is illegitimate, but the income you made from it might be legitimate, right? You see what I'm saying? Like, it could be, yeah, sure, here's a check, here's what you made for being on this board, because the IRS doesn't question why you got the job with the Ukrainian company. It just questions, did you pay taxes on the money coming back in?
That's a good question. I think we lost John there.
It's okay. It's all right. It was out into the ether to be answered at a time in the future. We're coming right back. More of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
This is FM Talk 106.5, experiencing some technical difficulties as we get here. There we go. As we get there to the end of the show, Sean Sullivan live from Washington, D.C., and we were about to wrap up Sean's live show. He's at FAIR's Hold Their Feet to the Fire, 13th annual event they've had there. FAIR stands Federation for American Immigration Reform, and if you've been listening to some of these interviews that Sean has had, some people very involved in the world of immigration, they've been affected. Earlier, we had on someone who has a ranch out in Arizona, and they've been affected by this illegal immigration, and lots of discussions of that. Also, yesterday, Congressman Mo Brooks was on, and earlier today, Congressman Bradley Byrne. We're going to go into this stop set really quickly here and try to reconnect with Sean to wrap the show up. You're listening to FM Talk 106.5.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile live from Washington, D.C. We are at the Phoenix Park Hotel here for FAIR's Hold Their Feet to the Fire event. Let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you about this segment of the show brought to you by Harry's. And I have to shave this morning with one of those cheap disposables. The first time I've done that in years and years. Why? Thank you, TSA, because I want to carry on my bag, right? And I love my Harry's. I've got I told TSA I got a travel cover. They weren't listening. So I had to do what I have not like I said, it's been, well, I've been shaving with Harry's for, yeah, almost six years now. And this is the first time I've been put back into having to use another razor. This morning, I did not like it. I'm going to have to figure out how to just have Harry ship my blades to D.C. before I get here, because I've gotten used to that great shave. And you get it. Everything that's great about Harry's is dependent on the shave. And I've told you the shave is fantastic. The blades are fantastic. The shave you get is great. Now let's talk about all the other great things about it. Number one, the price. I know this is not a big issue in Washington for price, but for the rest of us in America, it's kind of an important thing to save money. $2 a piece for the replacement blades, which is like half what you're paying at the pharmacy or the grocery store, and also the convenience of having those blades show up at the house at a predetermined number. So you know that if you need, you know, 5 blades a month, they've got that. If you need 12 blades a month, whatever it is, you can have it come in at that predetermined number. And right now is the time to get off the fence and make the move for Harry's, because it's the best deal I've seen. Right now, special offer for y'all. Get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and travel cover all for just $3, plus free shipping when you use our code MOBILE at harrys.com. So it's just that easy. Use that code MOBILE at harrys.com. Join the 10 million of us who have tried Harry's with the special offer for y'all. Get $5 off the trial set from Harry's with code MOBILE at harrys.com. That means you get the razor, weighted handle, shave gel, travel cover, all for just $3, plus free shipping when you use my code MOBILE at harrys.com. Go to harrys.com today, use code MOBILE at checkout, and claim your offer. Make sure you let them know we sent you. Help support the show. All right, I'm about to wrap it up here, and big thank you to all the folks from FAIR that made this possible. They've already started in if we're going to come next year, and I think we're going to do this, maybe bring the whole team up here. And so I'll be hanging around tomorrow here in Washington, but we'll be back on the air for Mobile Mornings and Midday Mobile on Monday. So a big thank you to Dalton and the whole crew back at the station for making this happen. And it's technically, it's been pretty seamless, Dalton.
Almost 100% seamless. We almost made it.
Right, but just right there at the end, we lost it. But before that, everything has been good, so it's pretty impressive. And a lot of great work back on your end, so thank you for your work on that. And remind folks, too, if they want to catch some football, what are the football details here?
Yeah, Auburn kicking off at 6 p.m. against Mississippi State on Saturday, pregame at 3. Tonight we got Tiger Talk at 6, Tiger Talk OT at 7, and tomorrow morning we'll have Football Fridays on Mobile Mornings, so it'll be good times.
All right, good stuff, man. I'll see you when I get home. Y'all, thank you so much. Feinbaum next.